come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? We are ready. Here we go. With all those names, you got them?
Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Daniel 3:28-8.
Let's do it again. Ready?
Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." Daniel 3:28-8.
Good job. Okay, now here's the verse we're going to do all the time now, right? Do you remember? Dare to be a Daniel.
Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known.
There you go. Hey.
Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we stand against any attack of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We stand against these things that would try to bring us down, Lord. Even those who are not here, Lord, they who are not here for other reasons other than they just, Lord, you know what I'm trying to say. Father, I know in the name of Jesus that you have your hand on this group of ladies. Lord, you have your hand in the middle of this Bible study, and we will not stand for anything that the enemy wants to pour out on us, Lord. We pray for your guidance. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, for your protection. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we would hear from you, that our ears would hear the things that you are saying to your church. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we get started on our study tonight, last time we met, I did want to say to you, first of all, last Friday I was in prayer, and I think I told you the last time we were together on Friday, I heard from the Lord at a Friday prayer meeting, and people are saying, you know, Moses only heard from the Lord three times, and you're hearing from him every other day, but this really was from the Lord. As I was, as we were praying, I began to think about the book that you're holding in your hand, your Daniel book, study book, and this is not a homework book, and I know we talked about that last time. This is not homework. This is the study of God's Word, and I want you to be able to look at it as the study of God's Word, because we come up with all excuses why we can't do our homework, but we have no excuse for not getting down and finding out what God has to say in His Word. But what the Lord spoke to me was the Bible study that Lisa has written, the one that she's put together, is that Bible study that you're holding in your hand, and it is a completion of the scripture Habakkuk in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, write the vision and make it plain. And actually, we have that right out here by your food, too. Did anybody plan that? Is that a different vision? verse than has usually out there? Okay, somebody own up to it. Okay, so was it just different tonight? Was it Habakkuk? Okay, it was Habakkuk 2:2-3. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Lisa has written down on paper the vision and has made it plain to us, has given us an opportunity to be able to look into something and see it clearly. This is prophecy in here. Everything that is in the book of Daniel is also, we're going to be able to carry it over into the book of Revelation. It all is tied together. And so she has put this together in a way that really allows us to understand the vision and see what God has to say to us. Lisa is a watchman on the wall, and she cares for you. I want you guys, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Okay, I really want you to get connected on Instagram. You're on Instagram looking at all kinds of stuff. Get connected with Heart to Heart on Chris, on your Instagram, and see how Lisa cares for you, the way that she gets that scripture out, the way that she ministers to you in different ways, the stuff that she puts up. She's right on top of all of it. She's really putting it out there and being a witness for the Lord and being that watchman who's not afraid to say, you know what, this is tough, but you need to hear what God is saying. So I really am encouraged by that, and I want to thank her for doing that. So fortunately she's not here. I don't know if she's listening, but anyway, she would be embarrassed, I know. Last week, I know that I did not give you a thorough understanding about the statue that was in the dream. So as I was thinking about it, I want to tell you, this statue, the beginning of this dream, in this dream that started in the book of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar, was the beginning of the government of man. And it will run all the way until the end of Revelation, when Jesus Christ comes and reigns and establishes his kingdom forevermore. This is a continuation. We are in a part of it. You know, we read last time that the head of gold, that was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was actually a one-world leader at that particular time. He had taken over everything. He wanted now to be a one-world religion. It was a one-world economic system that was going on at that time. So that was the beginning of the government of man in that gold that was there. And we are in the feet right now. We are in that place where it's that mixture of iron and sand, and it looks like it's stable, but it's not stable at all, and it's falling apart. You notice around the world, everything is falling apart, not just the United States, but everything is falling down, falling apart around the world. We are headed toward the one-world government. We are headed toward the one world religion. We are headed toward the one world currency. At this particular moment, we are headed for that very thing to come upon us. And we are in the feet, and it will all fall apart. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. He's coming back to establish his kingdom. And that's what that statue is all about. It's the beginning of man governing himself and finding out that we can't govern at all, and that the stone that is hitting him at the bottom, that's God setting up his kingdom. So that was all about that was happening at that particular time. So as we get into what we're talking about here, this one world government and all this sort of thing, in this particular text of Daniel, it is, you can check, please, check Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Do that on your own. We're not going to do a whole study of prophecy in here because we have other things that we have to incorporate. So 17 and 18, and then you're going to want to go to Revelation 13 through 18, when it talks about the Antichrist come in and sitting in that place in the temple, seated and insisting that he be worshiped. So we have those already sitting there. And 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of the second coming of Christ. And it says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this very thing, that all about the coming of Christ. I don't want you to be ignorant about it. I want you to be tuned into it. And so that brings us really into chapter 3 now, as we look at chapter 3. So it's been about 20 years, and here we have Nebuchadnezzar in a place where he's wanting to have everyone worship this image. He wants everyone to worship this image of him. What happened in that 20-year time? Remember at the end of chapter 2, he said that truly your God is the God of gods. Truly your God is the God of gods. And here we have him saying, I want you to worship me. What has he built here? When he saw the vision, remember Daniel told him, the golden head is you. The head of gold is you. It's you, Nebuchadnezzar. And so he does not want to give up his kingdom. He feels that he can go on forever. And so he builds this image of all gold. Because if the head is me and it's all gold, I don't want to settle for the silver. I don't want to settle for the bronze. I don't want to settle for anything else. I'm going to make an image that will make sure that people worship me forever. And so he puts it all together and he puts it in, and the size of it was 60 feet high and 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. And someone was talking, someone that I read was trying to make a case for his name being 666 because there were 6 things of instruments, but I only have 5 in my translation. So he only is a 66. He's not a 666. So he's only 2/3 of the way on to being the Antichrist. So here he is. He had planted his image in Dura. In Dura. Dura at that particular time was a great place. It was beautiful. And actually, we also are reminded that he had a furnace conveniently located right next to the statue, so that in case anybody didn't worship, they were thrown into the fire. That's what we're going to find out that he said would happen to them. And so Dura today is in the middle of nowhere. There is only one house that's on the land in Dura. And that house was built by Saddam Hussein when he was trying to rebuild Babylon. It sits out there, falling apart, there in the middle of nowhere. And so what happened that Nebuchadnezzar had was in this place of building it? He had not given his life over to the God of Daniel. He had continued to worship his own gods. He continued to worship other gods. He continued to worship himself. And we find him in a place where he is now erected this huge image. He wouldn't take up Daniel's God. He kept living for himself. And so what does he do? He builds this image, and he orders the leaders to come. Because when you've got the leaders, you've got the people. And so he orders all of the leaders to come, and he tells them to come into that area. And he tells them in all the provinces, and they were to come there, and they were commanded, all of the nations, all of the language, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, that's only 5. So when you hear that, You have to bow down. And I'm telling you, if you don't bow down to it, you're going to go into the fiery furnace that's conveniently located there. And so, as he tells them that, I want you to notice some interesting things. I want to know why, and if anybody can tell me, I've been looking all over the place. Four times, it's every one of the leaders. It's all laid out. The same number of leaders is laid out. And four times, all of the instruments are laid out. I want to know what that means, because it seems out of place. When we look at the Word of God, we look at things and we find out, why is that there? Why is that out of place there? I want to know why it has to be four times. When Jesus said things three times, that meant stop and listen, pay attention. But what about four times? So if anybody ever finds that out, let me know. Repetition is the key to learning, of course, and so he made sure that everybody knew what he was talking about. But as he said, when you hear the sound of these instruments, music is very interesting. Jack Hayford, back in the day when he was head over Church on the Way, he wrote the song Majesty. Majesty, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and power, or praise, or whatever. We were all singing, and he stopped us from singing. And he said, everybody's there. Their arms are in the air, their eyes are closed, they're passionate about what they're singing, and they're just, oh, they're so taken by the music. And he stops us. And he said, I purposely wrote the music to make you feel that way. It wasn't in the words. He said, when you put those notes together, it's like with the national anthem. You know, there's a part in the national anthem that you almost want to cry when you're hearing it. Or you hear other music that just, it builds up and it makes you feel a certain way. The sound of it makes you feel a certain way. And he said, pay attention to what you are saying, because the music will take you wherever I want to take you. And we can easily be led astray by music. A little experiment that Bill and I did one time. Bill writes music to everything. He writes songs of everything. He'll come in the door. I'm coming in the door. I'm doing this to you. I have been here close to 5 minutes, and then, you know, he sings everything. So this one time, he had written this one, and he's playing along, and it's so pretty, and it's so calming, and it's so lovely, and I just felt so relaxed, and so, just enjoying it. And then I listened to the words, and he was talking about taking out the garbage. But you see, the way that he put the notes together, the sound of the music was what led me in a direction. In our text, it says, when you hear the sound of the instruments and the music, then you are to bow down. It's the sound, that music that can easily carry us away. And it's interesting that the first instrument is a horn, because Jesus said that when you hear the trumpet sound, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Or I think I put about four different scriptures together to say that to you. When you hear the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, and he will say, come up here. Satan always has a counterfeit. He always has a counterfeit for everything that God has. Satan was thrown out of heaven because of his anger, because of his pride, because of who he was. He was the song leader. He was the worship leader. that was led astray by his own desires. That enemy always has a counterfeit for everything. And so in verse 8, therefore at that there were at that time certain Chaldeans. Who are these certain Chaldeans? The certain Chaldeans, remember how jealous they might be at the fact that Daniel had was able to say what that dream was when they weren't able to say it? And here they are, they're jealous people. They've been waiting for a long time to get these guys. They've been waiting for an opportunity. They came forward and they accused the Jews. They came to Nebuchadnezzar, and the first thing that they do is they say, King, you're so wonderful. Flattery, you know, so wonderful. Oh, we just want you to listen to us for a minute. And then they go through the whole thing of what you have said, what you are, what is supposed to happen here. And that they'd be thrown into the fiery furnace if they didn't do it. There are certain Jews. There are certain Jews, he says. Who are those certain Jews? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they will name him. Them. He will name them. Shadrach, Meshach. Boy, this is going to be the most interesting teaching you guys have ever heard. I can tell that. You're so quiet and you're all looking at me like, oh, is she okay? Is she going to be all right? I know you're all praying, so that's a good thing. So, but I'm okay. I'm good. It's all good. God's got this. There were certain Jews whom you set over. Who put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego where they were at? Daniel. Daniel asked for them to be there. They could have gone, whoa, wait, Daniel. Thanks a lot. This is where we're at right now. It's all your fault that we're in this position. But no, they weren't that kind of person. They tell him about those men, O king, that he set them there. They're not doing what you said for them to do. They're not doing what you said for them to do. These boys were probably in their mid-30s at this particular time. And so Nebuchadnezzar gently speaks to them like a father. Hey guys, you know, I've heard some things. And he said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up? So if you're ready at the time, you know, when the music starts playing and you hear the sounds, if you're ready to go at that time, you know, when that happens, maybe you weren't clear on what the instructions that were given. I want to make it clear to you. When you hear the sound of that music happening, that's the time to bow down. But on the other hand, if you don't bow down, then I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And so he tells them, he goes through the whole thing. It's pure pride on his part as he goes through all of this. And he says at the end of verse, what is it, 16 or 18, 15, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Who will deliver you? How quickly Nebuchadnezzar forgot about that dream. Who is the God that will deliver you? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they let him know that no matter what he said, no matter what he did, they will not bow. Right away, they tell him in verse 16, they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to think about this to answer you in this matter. If that's the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from you. He is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but he will deliver us from you. He's able, but he will do that. He is able. He can do anything. We believe that he can do anything. But this one thing we know, he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, they were ready to sacrifice their lives for him. Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image that you have set up. It's not possible. We just won't do it. So where is Daniel at this particular time? We don't have anything in here. Where is Daniel? The story is not about Daniel. The story is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we're not told where Daniel is because he's not necessary to the story. That's why we don't know. And it's okay that we don't know because we have the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Later we'll talk about Daniel again. But here they are, and they're wondering about this situation. And they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, even if we die, we still won't worship anything else. Or anyone else. Now, on Sunday, Bill brought up Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I had in my notes before he brought it up. And I think he probably went to my notes because he told you everything that I already had in my notes. And so he beat me to the punch on that. So you know the story that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor who didn't trust what Hitler was doing. He could see, the Lord gave him vision to be able to see what Hitler was up to. And he would speak out and he would go against what Hitler was doing. No one believed him. Sounds a little familiar. But just before the war began, he was with his brother in the U.S. speaking in the universities and could have stayed, but he heard what was going on in Germany, and he insisted on going back. He could have stayed in the U.S., but he insisted on going back because he said he couldn't stay back. He would be a part of the resistance. He would be a spy. He would do all sorts of things. And he was that part, which Bill told you, he was that part of a failed attempt at assassinating Hitler. He survived 4 years, but was arrested and imprisoned after the failed attempt with Hitler. His book, Cost of Discipleship, is worth reading. Cost of Discipleship by Bonhoeffer, Bonhoeffer. You should read it. It's worth the reading. It does not have a happy ending. I just thought I'd warn you ahead of time. He was there for 2 years. He was imprisoned in the concentration camps for 2 years. He lasted 6 years of the war. It said that Hitler made sure that he was, he knew that the war was ending and he was losing, so he told them to make sure they killed Bonhoeffer. Make sure you kill Bonhoeffer. He has to be killed. And he was executed by hanging 9 days before the war was over. 9 days before Hitler committed suicide. 9 days. And yet Corrie Ten Boom was let go by a clerical error. A simple clerical error that got her out just when she was scheduled to go to the ovens. The clerical error got her out. She was 48 years old when the war broke out. All that time in concentration camp, and she's let out, and she preached the gospel from that time on. Why did Bonhoeffer die? And Corrie Ten Boom didn't. I know that my God, he is able to deliver us. But if not, still I will praise you. I will praise him no matter what. Just as all of them died with faith, bravery, and resolve. Hebrews 11. You all know it. You know it, that it is the hall of faith. And just turn to Hebrews 11. And we're going to start with, you know that Hebrews 11, it goes by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we're going to start right down at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. So he stopped the mouths of lions. Who is that referring to? That's referring to Daniel. And quenched the violence of the fires. That's also speaking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Escaped the edge of the sword out of wickedness. They escaped the edge of the sword. Some escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, but others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn into, they were tempted, they were slain by the sword. They were wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. These were men and women of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Just as these young men were ready to do that, if that was God's will. Their faith never wavered in saying, but if not, it was a statement of their faith that either way they would be with God. They saw the God of the flames. They saw the God of the flames. They did not, it was, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. In verse 19, we move on and we find that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and he commands them to be thrown into the fiery furnace. When we let that anger take over us, you know what happened when he was so full of fury? He said, make that oven 7 times hotter, which meant the miracle was 7 times greater. And because of his fury, because his anger got a hold of him, because his pride got a hold of him, it cost the lives of his men of valor. So men, his own men died when they went up there. He was thrown in. They were thrown into, you know, rage and fury cost Satan removal from heaven. Rage and fury cost Satan removal from heaven. Were they afraid when he said they're going to be thrown in? Yeah. They were men. They were people. They were humans. We're supposed to be afraid of stuff like that. Fear, they didn't go in there going, okay, yeah, we're going to die. Okay, let's jump right on in. They were afraid just like any of the rest of us would be. But their love for God was greater than that fear. And so they fell down from the top into the burning, fiery furnace. And as they fell in, here's the first miracle. They didn't break anything. Not a bone of their body was broken as they fell in. They didn't have a turned ankle. Nothing happened to them as they were thrown into there. The miracle begins to happen the moment that they arrive in the furnace. And here they are. They've been thrown in with their coats, their trousers, their turbans, all their other garments. They were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And because it was, he wanted it so hot, of course, he lost his other men. And then all of a sudden, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. And then we find them, Nebuchadnezzar, I wonder if he heard them singing. I wonder if he heard them rejoicing. What drew his attention to what was going on there? Did he turn around and he looked and he said, they're running around without any bond. They're not bound. They're loosed. In verse 22, didn't we throw in three? But I see four in there and one of them looks like the Son of God. They're all in there dancing around and there's four of them and they're all loose. But you know, their binding was loosed. But they were free men still in the midst of their trial. They didn't just automatically get out of the furnace. They still were in the middle of their trial. The only thing that was burned was the binding that held them, and yet they remained in that furnace. Paul and Silas remained in the Philippian jail even after the chains fell off of them. They remained in the midst of their trial. At the same time, the only thing that burned was what they were bound with. Satan cannot bind us when we're walking in obedience to God. Satan cannot bind us when we're walking in obedience to God, walking in obedience to his word. The only thing that burned was what bound them, and yet they remained in the furnace. Satan cannot bind us when we're walking in obedience to God. We are free to move around the cabin or the furnace. And what did it look like? What did it look like? Did you imagine what it looked like? Was it a dome over them? Was it single domes? Were they in a group? Did the fire just go over the top of them? How does that happen? We all have our pictures, and we don't have any picture of what actually happened there. But there they are in the midst of their trial. Tozer said, "It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply." We will all go through tough trials. We will all find ourselves in that place. We'll all go through trials and tribulations. We prepare for them today. We have been preparing for today every day of our life up to today. We've been preparing for this day all of our lives. God is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God who is working in us. It is God who is strengthening us. It is God who's calling us to walk with him, to be near him, to set our eyes on him no matter what the situation is that's going on in our lives, no matter what's happening, that he is the one that we look to. I know that he's able to deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm sure that he's going to deliver me out of your hand, out of the hand of the enemy. We have that confidence. Walk with God today, and you are preparing yourselves for what's before us. He sees the four men in there, and he says, "It looks like the Son of God. It looks like the Son of God. Oh my goodness, it looks like the Son of God." What does the Son of God look like? It's Jesus. This is called, in the Old Testament, it's called a Christophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And it happens in a number of places in the Old Testament. There he is. Jesus said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you alone. I am going to be with you in the trials. I'm going to be with you in the trials that you're going through right now." God is telling you he's going to be with you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will be with you. He will dance with you in the midst of your trials. He will sing with you in the midst of your trials. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you. These men were in the world, but not of the world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. It has no hold on us. They had the peace of Christ in the middle of their struggles. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, starting with verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, that people would see Jesus in us. So then death is working in us, but life in you. These men were free men in the fiery furnace. The Lord was with them. Turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Are you bound today? God has opened up that prison door. You cannot remain bound when you walk in obedience to what God has told you. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Turn with me to chapter 43. But now, verse 1, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God is telling you, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. It won't even scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Oh, that we would be aware of what God's doing in our lives, that he redeems us. It says that they came out, and when Nebuchadnezzar called them to come on out, and they came out, and all of the leaders saw it. I want to draw your attention to that. All of the leaders saw it. It was not something that could be hidden. See, what God does, it can't be hidden. It can't be hidden, no matter what. It cannot be hidden. And they all saw it, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Satan has no power over you. Satan has no power over any of us. He has no power. He will raise up his voice. He will rant and rave and carry on and try to make us believe that he's something that he's not. Don't be fooled. You cannot be bound by Satan when you walk in obedience to Jesus Christ. The hair of their head was not singed, not touched by the fire, not touched by this world, nor were their garments affected. They went in the same way they came out. And the smell of fire was not on them. That's amazing. The smell of fire was not on them. You know when you go to a bonfire and you come home from there, don't you strip down every part of you and you have to wash your hair, you have to shower, every part of you smells like smoke. When Abby was a baby, and I would hold her, and Bethany would say, oh, you've been with Grandma Joy. You have her fragrance. And you know why these guys didn't smell like smoke? They've been with Jesus. They have the fragrance of Christ on them. They don't smell like the fire. They smell like Christ. They smell like the living Savior. The fire can't touch them because long ago they purposed in their heart that they would not bow down. Long ago, they made that decision. Long ago, we've made that decision. I will not bow down. And this story, God is going to use this story in our lives. Not even the smell. They had the fragrance of Christ. Nebuchadnezzar says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel. He sent his angel. I got to tell you a story. When we were at the memorial service for Michelle recently, she has a member in her family that's he's very much like Pastor Allen. He's just calm, and he's not excitable. He would never say, I just saw it. God just did it. He would never carry on like that. But they were at the hospital, and Michelle was in her last moments, actually, and some of the family was in the room there in the hospital. But this guy was outside in his car, and he was praying. He said his eyes were closed, and when he opened his eyes, he said, I saw this huge angel. It must have been an angel. All I know is it was just so bright. And this is the way he's telling the story, this man who's just like this all the time. And it was so bright, and then there were more, and then there were more, and then there were 300 billion there, and they all had their hands reached out. You see, God sets his angels around us. God cares for us. God is taking care of us. Who knows but what that wasn't an angel that he saw first, but it was God saying, she's coming with me. This man who just doesn't get excited was telling this story. And it goes on to say that they, he says that he's going to, anybody who speaks against their God and all this, and like he really cares. But what is he going to do to people who say something against their God? Oh, he's going to cut them in pieces, and he's going to burn down their house. That's his phrase. I'm going to cut you all in pieces, burn down your house if you don't do what I say. So we have this whole thing said again. And he says, there is no other God who can deliver like this. And I submit to you, there is no other God that can deliver like our God. There is no other God that can deliver like our God. And they were promoted again. Now, did he believe in this God of Daniel? Did he believe in this God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh, no, 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 no. We'll see in the very next chapter, which is approximately 30 years later, if I have the timing right. Approximately 30 years later, he's going to have a dream, and it's not going to be good. But we'll have to wait and see that next week. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you that you have given us all we need to accomplish whatever you've called us to do. And Lord, as these ladies get into their small groups, I pray that you would minister to them as they minister one to another, as they strengthen one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. And we give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out.